Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Something's wrong with you people. You're here on Sunday night. Most churches don't have church on Sunday night. But here you are. Here we are. Now, you see that lady up behind that piano? I told her everything she knows. Come on. You know that's not true. Her daddy made her take piano lessons, and I'm so glad he did. Come on. But I don't think the teacher taught her all those moves. Come on. Esther, several years ago, we went, had some members of the church we were pastoring, and they invited us over to their house one night to have dinner. And they had a black Baldwin baby grand piano, Sister Catherine, same size as that one, and they gave it to Esther. I had my grandson move it. I thought we never would get that thing moved. Good night. I should have called a piano mover. But some mornings I get up, wake up, and I hear that piano playing in the living room. That'll bless you. You know that? I'm so glad that she decided to hang around with me. In fact, Tuesday was 2 weeks ago. We celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary. Now, you've heard this before because I've been here so many times. All my jokes are gone. I was only 10, but that's all right. I got married never. No, it wasn't true. I barely turned 18, and we have three sons, three daughter-in-laws, six grandchildren, and eight great-grandchildren. And they all live in Baton Rouge. We moved there 38 years ago from Miami, Florida. You know, Baton Rouge and Miami looks the same. You believe that? No. No, 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 no. It looks good to us because that's where we've been called. That's where I'm going to stay by the grace of God till Jesus comes. In fact, we plan to stay there because we've already bought two cemetery plots. Well, you say you plan to die? No, but I believe we have to prepare for everything, don't you? I believe Jesus is coming. But we moved there with just a 13-year-old son who's now 50. Help me. He's 50. Moved there. He was 13 years old. We moved there with just the three of us, and the other two sons followed us. And I'm so glad they did. And I understand that the pastor and sisters about to have their first grandbaby, right? They won't be worth anything after that. Come on. They're ruined. If I knew grandparenting was so much fun, I'd have jumped parenting and went right to grandparenting because it's a whole lot easier. You've heard my story. I've seen the lights of Paris and I've seen the lights of Rome, but I've never seen such a beautiful sight as my daughter-in-law's taillights taking them grandkids home. I messed it up. But she says, no, you'd like to see the headlights. Bring them to our house. But we are delighted to be here for our umpteenth time tonight. Now, she played a song tonight, and I want our band to help me. Keep on the firing line. We're going to talk about the Holy Ghost and what? Come on. Fire. I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. I'm not going to ask you to check your brain at the door because you need it all of it you can get. Come on. We need all our brains. But I'm going to ask you to check your past teachings and what you've been told at the door, and just listen to this old preacher tonight about the Holy Spirit. Because I believe we have so many misconceptions about being filled with the Spirit. Can somebody say amen? So I don't have a new revelation. I don't have anything special, but I do study this book, and I do see what life is all about, and I do see what's happening in our church and even in our fellowship. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is so important to us. Not only to come into our lives and save us through the Spirit of Christ, but to fill us with power from on high. Can somebody say amen? But let's sing about old song she was playing. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. You ready to sing? You know, how many knows this song? Wait a minute. I've got to find if I got any help here tonight. Does anybody know this song? Oh, I see a couple of. Okay, help me sing. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, truly you must fight. Keep on the firing line. this service shall not have a place. So keep on the firing line. Everybody sing. You must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run nor even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line. If you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. If you win, my brother, surely you must fight. She almost got that too high for this old man. Come on. It's all right. Give him a hand. Give the band a hand. Come on. I love this. Love this. We're just having a great time with you folks here. Praise the Lord for you. Praise the Lord for this night. Hope you'll come back tomorrow night. We're going to sing some of the old songs. Old school. Now, come on. Now, I'm going to make a statement tonight, and I'll probably make it again tomorrow night. Don't come expecting every service to be old songs. Don't expect Brother Mike to sing old songs all the time. We've got to sing some of the new songs to make the next generation, because you next generation don't know these old songs. In fact, my kids don't even like my songs. But we need a variety. Don't you believe that? Amen. Let's sing some of the new songs to reach the next generation. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night a little bit. But tonight, we're going to talk about the fire. I'd like to begin by asking you to turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. Can somebody tell me who's writing this? Who wrote the book of Revelation? John, the disciple. The last man standing. All the other disciples had been martyred, but John was isolated on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, and he wrote the Revelation. He wrote the book of John, wrote 1st and 2nd John, 3rd John, and he wrote the Revelation. And Jesus spoke to him in this book, and I believe it's important to us tonight. The 12th chapter and the 11th verse says, "And they overcame him," talking about the church and the people and the martyrs, and the people who made it. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their," help me, "testimony." They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. 8 times in the book of Revelation, it talks about he that overcometh. It talks about the overcomer. Can I say this tonight, church? God wants us to be overcomers. He wants to live us live victorious. I didn't say sinless. I didn't say perfect. There's only 2 perfect men that ever lived. You say, 2, I thought it was only 1. No, I heard a man say the other day he found the second one. It was his wife's first husband. Y'all, did you get that, Steve? You can't use that. There is no perfect people. He died 2,000 years ago. But that doesn't mean, ladies and gentlemen, that God doesn't want us to be victorious over sin. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight to speak the words of God from this book. I've asked these people to check their previous conceptions sometimes that they have about the Holy Spirit, and let's open the book and look at it and see what the book says, what your life that we're supposed to be living in the New Testament under the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. And I pray you'll help us tonight. Do no damage, do no violence. We want to please you, Lord, and we want to be glorifying you in all this. And you said when the Holy Spirit came, he would lift you up. And this is what he's doing in our lives. He'll not speak of himself, but he'll speak of you and show us you. And Lord, let us show Jesus tonight, Father, your son. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. Some of the last words Jesus proclaimed was this. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name will cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, drink any deadly thing, and shall not hurt them. And on and on. These are some of the last words he said before he left. That was during the time after his resurrection, after his death, burial, and resurrection. And he said just to his disciples, go ye. I have a question tonight. Was that just applying to the disciples? Was that just applying to the 12? Was that just applying to the people of that day? Would you agree with this preacher tonight? It means everybody who ever follows him, we should go into all the world and preach the gospel. You say, wait a minute, there's only a couple of preachers here. We got Pastor, we got Mike, we got Steve. We got just a few preachers. This does not just apply to preachers who preach in our culture. We're all called to proclaim the good news. Somebody shout amen. Come on. We're all called to preach. You say, but preaching is behind the pulpit. No, it's not. Not only. It's there. Thank God. The foolishness of preaching behind the pulpit was ordained by God. Paul mentioned it. The foolishness of preaching, we still want to preach. But if that's all the preaching's done, we're in trouble. I walked out of a Catholic hospital a few years ago. There's two Catholic hospitals in our city, great hospitals. And as I walked out of one of the rooms, I'd made a hospital call. I looked on the wall. It said, preach the word at all times. Use words when necessary. I looked at that. I'd never seen it. And down at the bottom it said, St. Francis of Assisi. This Catholic bishop, priest, whatever he was, he penned these words. I have it hanging in my office. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe our testimony preaches louder than anything we might say. Come on. You believe that? Our talk is one thing, but our walk is so much different in power and effectiveness. Preach the word, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel at all times. But use words when necessary. Now, I don't mean we're not supposed to quit preaching. No, that's not what I said. I'm talking to you, everyone here tonight. We need to be preachers of the gospel. The last words Jesus said was going to all the world. Book of Mark. I just finished a Bible study with about 30 to 35 men at 6 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning. You got to be something wrong where you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I don't think God's up that time in the morning. Come on. That's rough. We have 35 men come to the church, and we sit around in a circle, and I'm the teacher, and we teach. And I've been going through the book of John on Jesus' life. And we finally finished the book last Thursday, and one of the men said, I thought the rapture would take place before we got through with John. Come on. Because we didn't go very fast. But we ended up the book of John, but I turned over. I said, now here's what it says in Book of John. All the books could not contain what he has done. Then I took back to Mark and said, go ye into all the world. He said that's part of his life. But then I turned to the first chapter of the book of Acts to finish his life on earth. You see, just before, so you understand tonight, Jesus in body is not here. You say, Jesus is here. Yes, he is, but not in body. Can somebody tell me where his body is? Where? Come on, help me. He's at the right hand of the Father. He was on this earth in his earthly body, his human body, his earth man, his man God body until the resurrection, and he's still in a glorified body, and he walked that earth with that glorified body for 40 days, Luke says. We observed him for 40 days after his passion in the book of Acts. We watched him. We know he's here, and he's standing on the Mount of Olives. Just outside the city of Jerusalem, I've stood there many times on that hill, on that mountain, where he stood the last time when he was here in body. He's standing there, 500 people around him. And he said to those 500 people, Don't tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father which you've heard of me. For John truly baptized you in water, but you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Do you remember when John stood on the Jordan River in the first of the Gospels? And he's been baptizing near Annan where much water was, and he had people coming, and the Pharisees came, and he was baptizing tax collectors and prostitutes and all kinds of people, common people. Even some of the priests were being baptized. And he looked at the crowd, and he saw someone coming that he recognized, right? It was Jesus. And he said, I truly baptize in water, but there's one coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. Jesus referred to that on this occasion as he stood on that mountain by him just before he left. He said, you're going to be baptized. John said, you're going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire by Jesus. I immersed you in water. You see, I always use this illustration. I'm not going to do it tonight. I've done it here before. I used to take a cup and say, this cup has water in it, but it's not baptized. Because, you see, when the disciples were in that upper room on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus had been preaching to them, you shall... The Holy Spirit is with you, but he's going to be in you. He's with you now, but he's going to be in you. In fact, when he went to the Feast of Tabernacles and he saw the man pouring the water out on the altar, he stood with a loud voice in the 7th chapter of John and said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, says the Scripture, saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He spake of the Spirit. John said, which had not yet been given, because Christ had not yet been glorified. This is where some of our denominational people get all mixed up, and I don't mean that unkind. I ask you to listen to me tonight. Make your own mind up whether I'm preaching the word or not. See, I'm sorry, but I think in linear terms. You know what, linear? I think in lines. I start here, and I want to go there, and there, and there, and there, until I get to conclusion. That's the way my mind works. I don't have much mind, but I'm going to keep what I got. Come on. But he said... This he spake of the Spirit, which had not yet been given, because Christ had not been glorified. He was still in his earthly body. When he was in Jerusalem, he was in Jerusalem. When he was in Galilee, he was in Galilee. When he was in Capernaum, he was in Capernaum. When he was in Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house, he was in their house. He was in his earthly body. He was not his glorified body. He had an earthly body. He was the only one that ever was God-man in the earthly body. The Spirit came and lived in an earthly tabernacle. But can I shout something tonight? They crucified him. They hung him on a cross. They wrapped his body in linen. They took him to a borrowed tomb, and they placed him there. But come on, early on Sunday morning, a lady walked up there looking for him, and he was gone because, come on, shout, he's alive. Can somebody shout he's alive tonight? He's been raised from the dead. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. Come on, shout with me, somebody. He's in his glorified body. He appears to Mary. Don't touch me. That same day, he walked in the upper room with the disciples in a glorified body. He walked in. He didn't use the door. He walked through the wall, and they were afraid. And he said, peace be unto you. And you know what he did? He went, he breathed on them. And what did he do? What did he say? Receive ye the Holy Ghost. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is where so many people get mixed up. In the book of John, it said, when he's glorified, he will be in us. Those disciples that day were at the bridge between law and grace, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. They were saved before that day, but after that day, the Spirit was with them, but after that day, he was no longer with them. Come on, he is in them. And let me shout it to you tonight. When you accepted Jesus by grace through faith and not of works, when you said yes to Jesus, he's no longer around you, but he is in you. Everyone here who's been born again has the Spirit of God. Some of your denominational friends have told you when you got saved, you got the Holy Ghost. If you didn't get it, you're not saved. But you have the Holy Ghost, because this is what he said you'll receive. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body on Resurrection Sunday. Come on. Or Resurrection Day, or Tuesday, or Friday, whatever day it was or is. You have the Spirit. It's like that cup. It's got water in it, but it's not baptized. Jesus is talking to people who have the Spirit living inside of them on that mountain. And he said to them, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. Don't leave Jerusalem. Don't go try to build a church. Don't go pray for the sick. Don't do anything till you walk through this valley. And I've been on that in that valley. Walk through this valley and go up in that upper room and wait for the promise of the Father. One man raised his hand on who he was, probably Peter. When you going to set up your kingdom, Jesus? I'm not worried about no Holy Ghost business. I want to be prime minister when we get the Romans out of here. Jesus said, it's not for you know the times of season which your Father's placed in his own power. But then he said this, Pastor Dick Jackson, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Can I ask a question tonight? How many of you have lost loved ones on their deathbed, and you were around the deathbed when they left, or you was with them when they was going away, and they said some last words, and you don't forget those last words? Forever they'll be in your mind. I remember the last words my mother told me before I saw her, before she passed. You have the same experience. The last words Jesus spoke on this earth, tarry in the city of Jerusalem and wait for the promise, for you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Let me back up to the last statement from Mark. Go ye into what? All the world, and preach the gospel. And when he said that those words, he began to lift. He began to ascend. It's called the ascension. And those people started looking toward heaven as he went up and up and up and up. And they could see him leaving. What an experience that had to be. And when all of a sudden he was went through the clouds and was gone. But wait a minute. Two angels stood there and said, why sink ye gazing into heaven? Come on. This same Jesus you see going away, he's going to come back in like manner. How many believe he's coming back? Put your hands together if you believe he's coming back. And he's coming back to that same place, to that same mountain. That's not the rapture of the church. That's the second coming, 7 years after the rapture of the church, I believe. Y'all can go through the tribulation if you want to. I'm going to heaven. Come on. Some of them know what I'm saying. I believe we're going to meet the Lord there at the rapture, but he's coming back at the end of the 7 years, and he's going to touch that mountain. He's going to set Jerusalem free. The battle of Armageddon is going to start, and that mountain's going to split. Can I shout it? He is coming back. I believe Jesus is coming back because he promised he would. But in the meantime, we're here to live our lives before a world that's very difficult. Would you say amen to that? A changing world. A world that needs Jesus, but they're running far from him. Some of you who lifted your hands, keep on the firing line. You've seen the world change more than some others have. But this world has changed. This world has changed. And he's left us here. He's left us here. Now, in the book of 12th chapter of the book of John, he said, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light. It was Jesus. They sat in darkness. He brought the light to the world. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, he gives the greatest message to the whole world while he was here. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. I think it's here somewhere. I think I see it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. It goes all the way across this building. But that's not all he said through the Beatitudes. On that sermon, that mountain that day, he looked at those people and said, you are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. You don't take a Candle, they didn't use candles. Candles were invented in the 600 AD, after Jesus died. They had lamps with oil and a wick. The real translation is, you don't take a lamp and put it under a bushel, but you put it on a lampstand so the whole house can be filled with light. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. I went to Israel first time with one of your men right here in the Washington area. I was talking to a pastor about it at lunch today, Wendell Cover. He pastors in Springfield, right? Great man. He took me, he was my host the first time I went to Israel. You never forget the first time you go to Israel. I've been there 12 times, so don't feel sorry for me. Come on. I've been to Israel 12 times. I've done a lot of travel. But I'll never forget that first time. Esther and I were standing on that mountain, and we had a guide by the name of Shep. I'll never forget his name. I forget who I met last week, but I can't remember Shep's name. That's been set 1975. Come on. That shows I'm getting old. Come on. Shep stood there that day, and he said, Jesus was standing about here when he said that. He said, you put a lamp on a lampstand. Then he said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. He pointed up like this to a hill on Galilee's very hilly mountains. There's a mountain, a hill up there. He said, when Jesus was here, there was a village on top of that hill. He said he pointed up there most likely to say that. See that village up there? At nighttime, you can't miss it because the lamps are burning. You can't hide it at night because it's light. It's burning. It's light. You're the light of the world. That city will have light because there's a flame burning. He said, if you go up there, you'll find an archaeological dig up there where they're digging through that little village now. That was back in 75. He said, you'll see them. They're digging there now, finding the artifacts. But he said he was standing right here and looked up there. I'll never forget that as long as I live. In fact, we were so impressed with Shep, she bought a camel and named the camel Shep. Come on. He's on my staircase. I got our staircase at home. It's Esther's house, by the way. If you don't believe that, ask the grandkids. They never come to my house. They go to Esther's house, Mama's house. She's got camels all the way down her staircase. Every time we went to Israel, she'd buy a camel. Shep's still with us. Can I submit something to you tonight? It takes power to make light. Y'all shutting down on me. A while ago, you flipped these fluorescents on. It took some power to make these fluorescents burn. It takes power to make this microphone operate. It takes power to make that amp work you going. It takes power. It takes power. I hope y'all stay with me tonight. It's going to get a little difficult, perhaps. Power. I told this morning in the Sunday school class. Esther made me tell it. It's a beautiful story. I'm going to tell it to all of you. Esther and I was preaching in Central Florida, and the pastor said, "Would you go down to Sebring and preach for a 70-year-old pastor that's starting to pioneer church in Sebring, Florida, down in the middle of the state. Would you go down and preach for him? He's just got a handful of people." And we said, sure. We was on the field as evangelists. We first came here 15 years ago. So we drove down to Sebring and arrived, and the pastor came out. He was using the storefront, just a handful of people. And he said to Esther and I, he said, "I'm so sorry. I've got laryngitis. I can't hardly talk." And said, I apologize. I said, "It's all right. It's all right. No problem." Nobody said, I said to God in prayer this afternoon, "Brother and Sister Rents are coming down. Here's our guest. And I can't even talk. And I'm a preacher. And I get paid to talk." Y'all with me? He said, "But I can't talk. And they're coming tonight." And he said, "God spoke to me in my heart and said, you're the light of the world and you're the salt of the earth. Light and salt don't make any noise." Why has I never forgot that? Can I go a step further and tell you that fire itself makes no noise. Now, it'll create wind sometimes because of updrafts and it'll rattle places, but that fire itself, you strike a match, how much do you hear from the match? Nothing. But what does it do? It lights the whole room. The candle lights the whole room. See, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I feel like I'm in a court now, because some of you are judging me. When I came into Pentecost, being on fire for God, we got labeled as holy rollers. Has anybody ever been called a holy roller? See, it's only old folks raising their hand. You millennials don't know what we're talking about. We had some people who got filled with the Holy Spirit that felt like they needed to roll, and they rolled on the floor. And that's when they said the fire fell, and we had fire in the church tonight because they rolled on the floor. I've never seen anybody roll as long as I've been in Pentecost, and I've been in it 68 years. I've never seen anybody roll, but they did roll because it was we got a reputation. Then we got a reputation for shouting. We got people, if you haven't come to church and shouted, you hadn't had fire in the church. If you didn't come to church and somebody gets slain in the spirit, you didn't have, we talked about the other denominations because, come on, they didn't even raise their hands. Are y'all with me tonight? But we raised our hands, and definitely they didn't clap their hands during the song service, Mike. Can't clap your hands. But we clapped our hands. And come on, I am not opposed to shouting. I'm not opposed to clapping your hands. I'm not opposed to be slain in the spirit. But I'm going to say something to you tonight. That's not really an indication that you got fire in your life. Come on. Because we make a lot of noise. That place is dead. There's no fire there. I'm not for dead churches. I'm not for dead sermons. I'm not for dead preachers. But come on, I've been in this a long time, and I've seen so many that criticize other people, but they didn't have the fire in their life. They didn't have power in their life. Pastor, I believe the greatest initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is we speak in tongues. But I met too many people who speak in tongues that had no power in their life. I won't be back. I can see that now. I won't be back. I believe in speaking in tongues. But I believe we overemphasize the tongues. I believe we need to emphasize the power that comes from the Holy Spirit to make us have a testimony the world will know that we've been with Jesus. Y'all with me? A testimony, power. It occurred to me one day, and I think I mentioned this last time I was here. I want to mention it again. And so I was 17 years old, just out of high school. I got out at 16. I was 17 years old. I went to work on the railroad as an electrician apprentice. I'm a journeyman electrician by trade before I got this easy job. I've worked out there in the world. And now I work with electricity because I'm an electrician. And maybe that's why I've been influenced. Maybe that's why it's influenced me about this power business. But it occurred to me the other day, we live in Louisiana where we have a lot of hurricanes. And I was talking to someone tonight, talking to Jim or someone talking to Ken. I have a generator in my house. It's a 7,000 kilowatt generator, 7,000 amp. 7,000 watts, I'm sorry, not amps. Heavens, I wish I had a 7,000 amp, never mind. 7,000 watts. You know why I got that generator? Living in Louisiana? Anybody have any idea why I got a generator? The what goes out? No, the electricity goes out. But what do we call electricity? I asked Ken, what do you call your power company here, your electric company here that furnishes these lights? What do you call it? What that furnishes these lights? What's the name? What? Dominion Power Company. Let's call it Dominion Electric because that's all they're furnishing. It's electric. They're not furnishing steam. They're not furnishing nuclear power. They're just furnishing electricity. But I'm going to shout something to you people in Fredericksburg, Virginia. when the electricity stops, the power's gone. Am I right? What do we say when the lights go out? We just lost what? Y'all with me tonight? What does that electricity do? It makes our lives so much easier. Now, we got, I told you this morning, we got some Amish people at Baton Rouge, actually in Denham Springs, cooking for us. And they've been, bless their hearts, they're great people. But they don't believe in using power. They don't believe in having power in their home. And that's all right. I don't criticize them for that. But my little wife, she's not very understanding sometimes. Come on. Because they got power in the barn to run their milking machines. They got power in the barn to run their barns. And Esther said, if I was an Amish and they wanted to eat, they'd eat in the barn before I had power. If they wanted clean clothes, they'd get them out of the dryer in the barn. Oh, she's not very understanding. She's not very flexible. Yes, she is. She's real flexible. I'm about to leave for Mexico with my wife. In fact, she's leaving in November to go to a women's conference down there. We've got in touch with a precious missionary down there. She's 84 years old, been there 50 years. And under her jurisdiction and her ministry, she's probably built 200 or 150 churches. Come on. She's got an orphanage with some 30 kids. And I was down there. I preached two conferences, one in the Yucatan and one in hers. It's just north of, it's just south of McAllen, Texas, about 4 hours. And I went down and I saw what she's doing and what she's understanding, what she's doing. And you folks have not been to third world countries, don't understand the power in third world countries is very limited. It goes out all the time. Only certain hours of the day you even have power to run the lights and run everything. And you know that power, ladies and gentlemen, in our homes runs our refrigerators, runs our freezers, runs our dishwashers, runs our washing machines. It controls our life. Is that right? Now, she has a water pump because she's not in the city. And when the power goes out, she has no water for those 30-something kids in an orphanage. And they've got to go down to the river and dip up water out of the river and bring it up to flush the toilets. Come on. I'm not trying to be a hero here tonight, but I'm just going to tell you, God spoke to me. You're an electrician. Why don't you use some of that? Paul made tents. You know how to wire things. We're going down, and I'm going to raise enough money by the grace of God. We're going to raise enough money to buy them 3 generators. Come on, shout somebody. So we can go down, and I'm going to hook them up so they transfer, and they can have power for those kids because their life needs to be a lot more comfortable than it is now. You see, we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's relate it to where we live, the power company. I'm just going to do that tonight. Why? How you going? You going to say the Holy Spirit's like Dominion Power Company? No, Jesus used natural things to reveal spiritual truths. Would he not? Parables. Let's get down where we live tonight. How important it is for the power to be on. So it's power to help us function. Now Jesus said, you're the light of the world. The city set on a hill can't be hid. It takes power to run that light. Where does that power come from? You should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You should be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. Come on, church. That power is given to us. Not that we can shout. Not that we can sing. Not that we can even speak necessarily. But it's so we can live a complete, victorious testimony before the world who's watching every move we make. Come on. Come on. It's not just to speak in tongues. And I speak in tongues every day. But it's to give us power to live the Jesus life. And I want to unfold this a little bit tonight. When he said, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. He wasn't talking about going to the court of law and lifting his right hand and say, I swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth will help me God. That's part of witnessing. And part of it is us witnessing what God done for us. But that word really means to be a living martyr. To die to self. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's Romans 12:1. Come on. He gives us this power so we can be transformed, that we can renew our mind, and we can die to self. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live with the power of the Son of God. That's the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout amen. Put your hands together, give Jesus a clap over, and send in the Holy Ghost. It's the power to live his life. It's the power to move in his ways and be like him and to show the world. The people at Antioch were called Christians. First time anybody ever used the word Christians in the New Testament was Antioch of Syria, because the people acted like Jesus. And can I say this without fear of contradiction? Too many of us call the name of Jesus and talk about being born again, but we don't live the life of Jesus in the world. Can you say amen to that? What is the life of Jesus? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, long-suffering, meekness, and self-control. What is that? The fruit of the help. That's what grows in our lives when we have power. That's what the power is for. That's what the power is for. I asked the question tonight, Pastor Dick Jackson, which is more important, the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit? I submit to you, the fruit of the Spirit is far more important than the gifts of the Spirit, because we need to touch a world. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works. That's what he said on that hillside that day. They may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Let's go back to text, if you don't mind. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He saved you. He washed you. He cleansed you. He made you ready for heaven. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit does not take you to heaven. What takes you to heaven is the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on. Don't let anybody tell you. We had a split in this movement in 1917 because some people split this Assemblies of God movement because they said you had to be baptized in Jesus' name and you had to speak in tongues to go to heaven, be filled with the Spirit. That's not the entrance to heaven. The filled with the Spirit is not the entrance to heaven. The filled with the Spirit is to live right here. The blood of Jesus Christ is heaven. Come on. But then you be filled with the Spirit for what purpose? To have power in your life. When temptation comes, and I hate to say what I'm fixing to say, but I'm going to say it. And I hope this don't offend anybody, but I received a phone call one Monday night that our pastor had failed. Our pastor of a large church in Baton Rouge. And I'm not talking about Jimmy Swaggart. You all know about that already. Same thing happened to him. Failed. You say, you're putting people down. No, I want to illustrate something to you. Just because you preach the word, just because you live in a certain area and have a certain influence, doesn't mean that you don't need the power of the Holy Ghost to help you. I received his phone call on Monday night. I was sitting in my living room, and associate said, our pastor had a failure. He's had an affair with one of our staff members. He had to leave our pastor. He had to leave our church. I can't tell you what it did to our church. But can I tell you tonight, the young man that was number two in the pulpit picked up the church, and we're setting all records now. Come on. God has blessed us. Come on. God has blessed us with a church's flourishing. I love the man that failed. I love all of them that failed. But can I tell you, we don't have to fail. Come on. We don't have to fail. I'm not above failing. I'm not setting myself up because except for the grace of God, there go I. I'm not better than anybody. But let me tell you, if I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Are you all with me? How do I do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean this unkind, and I don't want you to stop doing what you plead the blood all you want to, and that's good. But the blood was for our salvation. Jesus sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to give us power to live for him and to die to. That word witness means a living martyr. We die to ourself and become alive to God. Let me close. I think I'm here for the last time tonight. Come on. Book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. I got to have some help. Can I read something to you? Say amen. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Does that sound like today? Come from Ephesians. He's not speaking to the world. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to believers. The church at Ephesus. The largest church in Paul's influence. And Timothy there is a pastor. He left him there as a pastor. Ephesus. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine words in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Giving thanks always for all the things God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Be not drunk with wine, where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I've had to change my doctrine. Anybody ever change their doctrine? Change their understanding? I used to preach about a man I knew had a problem with drinking. and he couldn't pass his bar. And he'd go in there and get drunk, and next day, I'm not going to do that again. He'd go back by that door the next day, and he'd turn in there and get drunk. And next day, I'm not going to do that again. So finally, he went down to the dairy bar at the local supermarket, and he bought him some buttermilk. And he filled up with buttermilk. He was so full of buttermilk he couldn't hold anything, so he got by the bar that night. I preached that. But I was wrong. You don't get filled with buttermilk. You get filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. Can I ask a question tonight? Because I'm a simple man asking simple questions. Don't raise your hand. Now, please don't raise your hand and I ask this question. I'm not asking for you to answer. Just it's rhetorical, whatever that means. Has anybody here ever been drunk? I thought so. I see that hand. No, nobody raised their hand. Nobody raised their hand. Thank you for not raising your hand. What happened when you got drunk? I've never been drunk, by the way. And I'm not bragging about that. I just wandered to the depths of sin while I was 10 years old. You heard that this morning, so I hadn't been wrong. What happened? You got drunk? Something took over your life. What was it? As the old country boy says, alcohol. What will alcohol do to you? I'm making that country now. Come on, I don't talk that way. What happens when alcohol takes over your life? You do what? It does what, Kent?
It runs you.
Does it make you do things you wouldn't normally do? Make you go places you wouldn't go? Do things you're not supposed to do? Wake up with a hangover? And sometimes, I work in a prison. Y'all know I'm a chaplain. I can't tell you how many men that I serve. They're some of my dearest friends. Can't even remember the night they killed somebody. Or they robbed somebody. Some of them lie. No, they're not. They were so drunk. Something took over. Because alcohol will take over your faculties, take over your thinking, take over your life. Amen? Let's make a point. The power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost in power. And fire. It's fire. It's power. The Old Testament, New Testament, their power was oil. Their power was light. Today we have the power we've got. But he ended up talking to Ephesians about alcohol. And he said, be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I told him, fill up with buttermilk. That wasn't good. Because I don't like buttermilk. But what I should have told him was, if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll give you fire in your heart and power in your heart that you can overcome whatever's out there. I hope this is helping somebody. That's why we believe you get saved, the Spirit comes to live within you. But then you get filled with the Spirit. You remember Samaria? Philip preached. Great revival, but they had not been filled with the Spirit. Don't tell me they didn't have the Spirit living in them. They were born again. And Peter and John went down, they were filled with the Spirit. When Peter was speaking to Cornelius' house, while he was speaking, they were filled with the Spirit. Paul at Ephesus. What baptized were you baptized in? We just had John baptism. He baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I don't care what everybody else says. I believe that's what he did. And then he prayed for them and laid hands on them, and they were filled. They had the Spirit before that day, and they walked away. But one last thing, two last things. The seventh chapter of the book of Romans, everybody's confused about it. Paul said, when I want to do something, I don't do it. What I don't want to do, I do. And they all try to make excuses. But then he says in chapter 8, verse 1, there's now therefore no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul was talking about his life before he was filled with the Spirit, and now he's talking about when he's filled with the Spirit. He has a victorious life. Come on. He has a testimony. Let me close with this, and I'm closing, I promise. Has anybody ever heard the name David Wilkerson? Has anybody ever heard the name Teen Challenge? David Wilkerson, a little old skinny preacher from Pennsylvania, went to New York City when he saw some pictures of some guys. One of them later became Nicky Cruz. And he went in there and got in trouble trying to minister to them, but ended up starting what's the place he called? What was it, Pastor, he started? Teen Challenge. Y'all have a Teen Challenge here, don't you? What makes Teen Challenge so successful? When the world is having more trouble with drugs today than we've ever had in our lives. The war on drugs was a failure for the government. Because the government thinks, in all due respect, more education will do it. All you have is an educated drug addict. I'm old, I can say anything I want to. Come on. I can get away with anything. Except with her. She'll trade me up afterwards. We put money at it. All you got's a rich drug addict. I'm going to talk about this Wednesday night to the kids. What's the secret to being victorious in an age when you're bombarded with temptations? David Wilkerson found the secret. He started Teen Challenge in the 50s on Clinton Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. And I had the privilege, Esther and I had the privilege of speaking at Rearsburg, Pennsylvania, to the first training center he ever started, 200 men. We've got 15 challenges in Louisiana. I work so closely with them. Most of the people that have drug problems come through my office at the church. And I've told this story, but I've got to tell it again because some of you hadn't seen me for a year. I had a drug problem growing up, a real serious drug problem. Y'all didn't know that. Mama drugged me to church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. David Wilkerson found a secret. He didn't find the secret. He just opened the Bible. Come on. And God showed him what to do. Not from some philosopher, but from the books of that Bible. It says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the othermost parts of the earth. He found it. And then he started those men and women. Get saved, but don't just get saved. Come on. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. Put your hands together. That was the secret. That's the secret. And Teen Challenge has an 87% success rate. The government has a 2 to 10% success rate with their education and their money. But it's a spiritual problem we need power for. So the powerhouse of heaven is the Holy Ghost. The powerhouse of Jesus is not here, but he sent the Holy Spirit to abide with us forever. And how do I receive the Holy Spirit, preacher, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit? You just start worshiping him and praising him and adoring him. And let me shout it. Esther, go to the piano, please. The Bible says, Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, that sermon so professionally and wonderfully done. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Come on, tell me what happened. They shall be filled. I'm going to ask you to stand, all of you, tonight, all over this place. And I'm going to ask you to come and stand with me at this altar. Would you do it? Would you come stand with me? I want our musicians to come help us. Come on. I want our drummer and our bass player to come help us. We're going to sing an old song. Come on, join me around this front if you're hungry for more of God. If you're hungry for more of God, you're hungry for more of the power of God in your life. I believe God's going to fill some people tonight. I believe God's going to fill some with the Holy Spirit tonight. Fill us. You're saved. You've got the Spirit living in you. Lord, just open up and let Him baptize you. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let Him control your life. Let Him give you victory over temptation. Victory. No, you won't be perfect. No, you'll fail, but you'll have a power in your life that you know not of, because He's going to give you power tonight. Come on.
They were in an upper chamber. They were all in one accord. When the Holy Ghost descended, as was promised by our Lord. Everybody sing. Oh, Lord, send the power. Lift your hands with you all over this church. Oh, Lord, send the power to.
Everybody sing it, lift it up. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. Baptize everyone. Would you lift your hands and begin to praise Him right now with me? Father, we just love You. We just praise You. Open your mouth. Open your voice. Open your voice and begin to praise Him tonight. Lord, we just praise You for the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not asking for something. You said if we were fathers, our children asked for bread, we wouldn't give them a stone. If they asked for something else, we wouldn't give them something else. We give them what they asked for, because You said if we being earthly know how to give good gifts to our children, You know how to give us the Spirit of God. And fill us, Lord. Fill us with Your power and Your presence, Lord. We're hungry for more of You. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.